Good morning. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Today we're going to begin a few sermons in a series called Foundations of Our Faith. Verse 19, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, or as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You because You are God. And You have been very good to us. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You for this privilege of looking into Your Word this morning and learning from Your Word. I pray, Lord, You will speak to us through Your Word. Give us understanding. Give us guidance, Lord. Provide what's needed through Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray for our nation. So much is going on right now and with the sickness. We just pray that You would turn this coronavirus. I pray that once again we'll be able to meet together as a church body very, very soon. I pray that Lord, You will just take this virus away. But Lord, I also pray that this will be a tool to turn hearts to You. And that Lord, through the events that have taken place the last couple of weeks, as well as the future, I pray there will be a mighty revival occur in this nation. Now, Lord, we pray Your will be done through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The question comes to mind today. Where do we go from here? Or what do we do now? You've been told to stay at home. Well, this Sunday morning, we're staying at home. We're told not to have contact with groups over 10 people. Well, we're observing that as a church. We're told to practice good health, hygiene, wash our hands, use hand sanitizer, and we are. But there comes a point when you have taken every physical precaution that you can possibly take. And then the question, what do I do now? Well, I'm glad you asked that question this morning, because I'm going to tell you what you do now. If you're a part of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, you minister now, during a time when our nation needs to see the body of Christ in action. You put your faith into action. That's what this text is about. Hebrews chapter 10 that we read. We start with the encouragement. Therefore, having boldness, let us enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. First of all, we must be bold. Boldness, of course, is confidence and assurance. We need a confidence to enter the holiest, which is a reference, of course, to the Old Testament tabernacle type worship. In that tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, and that's where God resided. And now, the only person that was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies was, of course, the high priest. And he could only do that once a year. But once a year, he would go in and make intercession on behalf of the people of Israel. But today, we have a new covenant. You see, when Jesus was crucified, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying to us that Jesus now is our high priest, and He's seated at the right hand of God in the throne room of God. And the invitation goes out let us go boldly before the throne of God and make our request and take our prayers to the one who can answer the needs that we face. Today, I want to challenge you. Let's be bold in our prayer life. I'm not talking about those bedtime prayers, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about those mealtime prayers of, Lord, bless this food. I'm talking about a fervent, bold prayer that shakes the very foundations of hell. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are many people who like to pray, but few who like to pray fervently. And that's my challenge to you today in our boldness as we go up before the mighty hand of God, that we go boldly in energy, pouring out our hearts, pouring out our minds, pouring out our very soul to the God that can answer the needs of this nation. You see, people of faith understand that we have the attention of the God of this universe. And we are invited to come before His presence, bringing our petitions. And if there's one thing our current circumstances should do, it should improve our prayer life. It's improved mine, quite honestly. You say, preacher, you mean your prayer life needs improvement? Yes, it does. And it did. But I'll tell you what. The last few days I've been more bold before God. I've had more of a passion for prayer. I've had more of a desire for this nation than I've had in quite some time. So today I ask you to stop and consider this profound invitation that has been given by Jesus Himself. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. God is our refuge in these troubling times. The medical professionals that are treating people need our prayers. The government officials who are running this country need our prayer. The people who are sick need our prayer. Our church needs our prayer. Your pastor needs your prayers. And every pastor of this flock are in need of people who are willing to go before the throne of God in all confidence and boldness to lay our needs before a God who can supply those needs. Second thing. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The word draw, or the phrase draw near, it means to approach. The subject is, of course, still prayer. I just want to remind you that God's throne room is open for business. Praise God. He never closes. He does not keep business hours. Psalms 121 and 3 says, He never slumbers. God's never out. He never runs out of resources. And now if we know, and we do know, that God can do anything, and we know that God has everything at His disposal, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, how can we be a people who are silent in prayer? Let us draw near. Let us approach God with a true heart. A genuine heart. It says, sprinkled from an evil conscience, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the water of the Word, Ephesians 5:26. The writer there is talking about a genuineness inside as well as outside. See, most people think that we can live and we can do whatever we want to do. And then when we get in trouble, we go to God and say, God, bail us out. And He's supposed to run and bless us and get us out of trouble and then leave us alone so we can go back about our business. That's not the way that it works. When we're told here in Hebrews that we're to draw near with a true heart, a genuine heart, it's talking about getting sin out of the way. It's talking about those things that are hampering, stopping the progress in our relationship with God. It's not about removing those. We're reminded. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." You see, in this country, there are two types of religion. There's the social religion that's politically correct that says, God understands and He loves me just the way I am and He doesn't want me to change. And then there's the real deal, the genuine religion. That not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. Those are the ones that God is sitting on His throne saying, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find." So what am I saying? If you're not one of these genuine Christians, if there's sin in your life, am I saying, well, you just need to forget it? No, I'm saying you need to repent. Put away your sin. Turn back to God so that He can and will hear your prayer. You got to ask yourself this morning, what category do you fall into? I believe with all my heart that we're living in a very uncertain time. We don't know how this is going to play out. We don't have a clue. 2 weeks from now, we may look back and say, oh, it was no big deal. And actually, I hope we do. 2 weeks from now, we may be in a situation where the country's overrun with sickness. But I tell you this. Whatever the outcome of this illness, you need to have a prayer relationship with Christ. Because one of these, because even if this illness passes by, it's not a big deal. There's going to be another. There's going to be another after that. There's going to be another crisis in your life. Another national crisis, another stock market crash. Listen, we're told that we should not boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we don't know what a day may bring forth. Your relationship with God today is vital to your future. Let's draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Hold fast. Hold on. Hold on to our confession or our statement of allegiance without wavering, without bending, without giving, without swaying to either side. Listen, there are a lot of encouraging scriptures in the Bible. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have a Bible filled with scriptures of encouragement. But the bottom line is this. You're the one that's got to hold on to what you say you believe. We're living in a world of inconsistency. That if it gets hard, people quit. The same is true as far as Christianity. Let me tell you, the harder it gets, the more you need Jesus. Don't turn your back. Don't let go. Because, after all, you're going to be challenged. If you get sick and Satan says, if God loved you, you wouldn't be getting sick, what are you going to do? If you lose a loved one, Satan says, God's not really here to help you or you wouldn't have lost your loved one. What do? You do everything right that you're supposed to do as a Christian person and yet you suffer persecution because of it. What are you going to do? Here's my challenge. You hold on even when it's hard. Do not let go of your faith. I'm reminded of the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." What's the point? You must learn to hold on. As the old saying goes, come hell or high water, I will not bend, I will not bow, I will not give up my faith. There are times that you may have to say, "Father, I believe you. I don't understand what's going on, but I believe you." You may have to say, "Father, I trust you. I don't understand why this is happening to me, but I trust you." There are times when you may have to say, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." But through it all, hold on to your faith. Then finally, verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Let us consider one another. Let us think of one another. Actually, let's think of one another, of others, before we think of ourselves, with the goal to stimulate them to love and good deeds. Matthew 5:16 puts it like this: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Listen, you can go around with a sour face. You can talk about how bad everything is and what a terrible job the government's doing and the leaders are doing. And you can wallow in self-pity. Or, my friends, you can minister. Choice is yours. But you understand this: your actions are contagious. Somebody's going to follow your lead. Give you an example. And I hesitate to even mention it, but I'm going to give you this example. You know what's going to be remembered about this virus? What's going to be remembered is the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. You know what happened? Somebody decided that it would be a good idea to have a year's supply of toilet paper. And so they go to the store and they buy all the toilet paper they can cram into a shopping cart. And somebody else saw them. And they said, "That's a good idea." So they go in and buy all the toilet paper they can cram into a shopping cart. And pretty soon, communities are clearing the shelves of grocery stores of toilet paper. Now listen, we're facing a pandemic. I would understand if you could not buy the Tylenols, the ibuprofens, the Advils, and all those other medicines that could possibly be needed. But hoarding toilet paper is just downright dumb. But it started with one person. And it spread to a lot of other people. Because one person responded the way they did. There was absolutely no regard for others. The people who cleared the shelves never thought, "Hey, someone else may be running out of toilet paper. Someone else may need this." There was a complete looking out for, "I've got mine." When Christ tells us, "Let us consider one another," I'm reminded we're not here to survive a pandemic. We're here to make a difference for the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. Let your actions be such that will stimulate everybody else toward acts of love and kindness instead of selfishness and self-preservation. Then finally, the world-famous preacher verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I want you to understand something probably a little different than you've ever heard about this verse. That word forsaking, of course, means to abandon. The word assembling there is the interesting word. That word assembling, it's not a verb. It's a noun. Now we preachers teach that means you're supposed to go to church. And it does mean that you're supposed to go to church. But actually, in it being a noun, it is much deeper than that. Perhaps a better translation would be, don't forsake the assembly, which would include everything as far as your responsibility as a church member. The idea is it's not to just go to church and if you go to church you've done your job. No. Even though it's included. Yes, go to church. The idea is don't abandon the church family. Even though we're not meeting in the same building, beloved, we are still a church. Nothing has changed. And you still have church member responsibilities. Faithfully execute your responsibilities as a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. How do you do that? Number one, pray. 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 Number two, participate in every worship service. We may not be meeting in person in the church facilities, but at 10:30 on Sunday morning, there will be a worship service. Tune in on Facebook. At 6 o'clock Sunday evening, there will be a worship service. Tune in on Facebook. Your Sunday school teachers have been asked to teach their classes. Tune in so that you get your feeding of Sunday school. Be faithful. Also, check on other church members. Call our elderly who are being a little more cautious than perhaps others by staying in. They may need somebody to get groceries. They may need somebody to run an errand. They just may need somebody to talk to. Call them. Show them that you care. And not just the elder, check on all of our members. And be ready to assist them, if they give you any kind of inkling that they have a need. Continue to give. Okay? Expenses of the church continue. Now I know if some of you are being affected by unemployment or cutbacks, and understand, appreciate that, and I'm not asking you to starve, by all means, buy your groceries and do what you need to do, but don't forget, God's still God. And we still need your giving. Participate in everything that you can possibly participate in the ministries of Victory. You see, this crisis will not curtail the ministries of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I am determined. Our church staff are determined. We're not going to stop ministering. But I'm going to tell you what it's doing. It's opening up new doors of ministry opportunity that will still be going on long after this pandemic scare is over. Listen, don't forsake your church. Finally, are you a child of God? Been talking to mostly saved people today, but I want to stop for just a moment because there are lost people in this world and in this nation today who need to hear the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ gave His life for you. Bible says that God loved the world so that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you so much that He gave His Son Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin. Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. Now, you may say, Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. Everyone needs a Savior. You're not so good that you don't need to be saved, and you're not so bad that you can't be saved. For Jesus Christ died for all. Today, the Bible says that if we'll call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. What do you need? You need to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You need to know that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and today He's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. And you need to know that if you call out to Him and very simply pray the prayer of salvation, which is, can be as short as, Jesus, please save me. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can be saved right here, right now, this morning. But the ball is in your court. Oh, listen. This pandemic is a reminder of how fragile our system, our life is. But it's also a reminder of how great our God is. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, will you accept the love of God today that He's shown through Jesus and call upon Jesus, asking Him to save you?